think all of us are familiar with the idea of an MVP. You even know what that stands for, don't you? MVP, most valuable player. After there's been a big sporting event, maybe a football game, or maybe the World Series in baseball, or maybe some other big sporting event, they'll name a player who was outstanding and who performed the most valuable service to his team, most valuable player. We're familiar with that, aren't we? We know what an MVP is. Now, what if we took a vote today, the MVP of this congregation? Wouldn't that be something? Now, the basis for our vote would be upon the good works that this person has done and continues to do. Who would be the MVP? Well, your selection might be different than mine because it is in the nature of MVPs in spiritual matters to do their work not to be seen of men, right? Jesus warned in the Sermon on the Mount about doing your work to be seen of men. Stephen read us a section of that famous text just a few moments ago. So true MVPs in the Lord's church are not out there making a show of what they're doing. And for that reason, you may know about someone who's doing a lot of things that are really good and helpful, and I don't know about them because they're not doing their work to be seen of men. On the other hand, I might know of some that you don't know either. And so that would make maybe our selection process a little more difficult. But I would certainly argue that we have a number of folks here in the local congregation who would be worthy candidates for consideration as MVP, most valuable player. We want to talk about the importance of the things those people do in our lesson this morning. We want to... Wait a minute, we're back in. Here we go. We want to talk about the importance of doing good works in the Lord's service. And that's going to be our topic for consideration this morning, good works. And what role they play and our involvement in that sort of thing. Before we get further into that study, let me stop for a minute to thank you for being here. We certainly are grateful for the presence of everyone. We have visitors today, as we typically do, and we're always glad to have visitors. We want you to know that you're welcome. We hope you come back whenever you can. We're open to your questions. We've come together today to honor and glorify our Creator. We certainly hope by spending our time together in worship this morning that He will be glorified. We also pray that all of us will be edified. And so thank you for being here to be a part of these important activities today. Let's talk about good works. Good works. Several observations we want to make. The first of those is that as the people of God, we need to be zealous of good works. Sometimes the things that get done are done sort of out of dreaded obligation. And I've got to confess, there's been plenty of times when I did what I did simply because I felt I had to, not necessarily because I really wanted to. Just sort of a sense of obligation. And I don't doubt that many of you would agree that there have been times when we did things that were good, things that needed to be done, but we didn't really want to, and we weren't terribly excited about that. We just felt it was an obligation. That's nearly not where we need to be. We need to be zealous of good works. In Titus chapter 2, verse 14, Jesus gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people. Notice, zealous of good works. And so, that's the way it's supposed to be. Good works are what we are to be about. And this might be a worthy test. Are you zealous of good works? Are you enthusiastic? Are you even grateful for the chance to be able to serve? And if you're not, if any of us feel that we're just doing what we're doing out of awful obligation, then we need to make a change about that because the Lord is seeking people who are zealous, enthusiastic, excited about doing good works in His service. I'd also suggest that good works are what ought to adorn the Christian. Let me ask you a question. What did you do this morning to get ready to come to church services? Well, I'm sure that you did some things in an effort to make yourself look good. You know, take a shower. The men shave. The women put on their makeup. Comb your hair. You know, try to pick out some clothes that look halfway decent. You know, you want to present yourself in a favorable light, right? You want to look good, obviously. Occasionally, when we're out in public, we see people who seem not to make any effort at that. You know, you almost ask yourself the question, you suppose that guy even looked in the mirror before he left the house this morning? You know, his hair's standing straight up and everything's in disarray. Typically, most of us do things to try and make ourselves look good. And that's what the word adorn means. Well, for the Christian, good works are what we ought to do to adorn or make ourselves look good. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, beginning verse 9, it says, in like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with braided hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. This is one of those passages that makes a stark contrast. It's one of those passages that we sometimes refer to as a not but passage. One thing is expressed and the counterpart or the contrast that is expressed. And so for here, women in particular, but it's certainly applicable to men, women should adorn themselves not with outward showiness, braided hair, gold, pearls, costly array, but with what really honors women professing godliness, with good works. In other words, women ought to make themselves look good, not by an overt attention to their outward appearance. Women ought to try to make themselves look good by the good works that they do in the Lord's name. And again, I think the principle certainly applies to men as well. It's natural to want to look good. For the Christian, the real emphasis in looking good is via the good works that we do. And so we would simply ask the question, where is your emphasis? Do you put an emphasis on good works? When it comes to trying to adorn yourself, do you do it with good works? That's what the Lord wants us to do. Good works make us fruitful. What does that mean anyway, to be fruitful? Well, I would argue that the meaning of that sort of biblical expression, to be fruitful, means to make a difference. If you had a worker on the job who was fruitful in your employment, then he's the kind of guy who really makes a difference. He's a person who is sort of irreplaceable. He's the kind of guy that you'd be at a loss if he was gone from the job place. He really is important. He is providing valuable service. Well, what about in the church? Are you fruitful in the Lord's service? Are you such as that in the Lord's service that you really make a difference, that you are in effect irreplaceable? If you were gone, we wouldn't know what to do without you. Are you fruitful or are you unfruitful? That's really determined by the work you are doing. In Titus chapter 3, verse 14, Paul says, let ours also learn to maintain good works. There's that good works again. Maintain good works for necessary uses that they be not unfruitful. So if you want to avoid being unfruitful, and that is if you want to be fruitful, then what you have to do is you have to maintain good works. What would be the case for you or me if we were gone from the local congregation suddenly? Would we be missed? Or would we be the kind of person that maybe nobody really even noticed our absence for several weeks because we weren't that involved, we weren't getting much done, we weren't being fruitful in the Lord's service? Good works make us fruitful in His service. Also, we could say that good works may have the outcome of influencing other people to glorify God. I think all of us should have as a really high priority the concept that we want to influence other people to learn about Jesus and be obedient to the gospel. So we really want to influence other people in that direction. It is clear, I don't think there's any doubt about it, I don't think it's arguable, that one of the most effective ways is by virtue of the good works that they may observe us doing. Now, I want to mention again what we started out with. Certainly we're not doing our works to be seen of men, that is to gain their praise. That's not our motive. Jesus definitely warned about having the motivation of being praised by men by what they see us doing. Okay, so we're not talking about that. But on the other hand, certainly people will see and perhaps even be motivated to act based upon them seeing us act in God's service. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, the very famous expression of Jesus is, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Now, I think it's interesting that Jesus here talks about people seeing our good works. This is that same Sermon on the Mount. It is in the immediate context of what Stephen read for us just a few moments ago. In the same sermon, just a few paragraphs separating, here he says people should see our good works. When you get over there in chapter 6, he warns, don't let them see your good works with the motivation of being praised by them. That's not what it's about. But here he says, let people see your good works. Why? So that they will glorify your Father, which is in heaven. And so certainly, Jesus realized that there's a contrast of motives, but he also realized that there's a value in doing good works that others will perceive, and that perhaps in turn leading them to obedience to God, to glorifying His name. In 1 Peter chapter 2, Peter said a similar thing. He says, having your conversation or manner of life honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works which they shall behold glorify God in the day of visitation. Now, as you look at that verse, notice that Peter is describing some people who are completely adverse to what we believe and do. They are looking for opportunities to say bad things about us. But, notice, when we consistently do good works, even those kind of people may be led to glorify God on the basis of the good works that they observe in us. And so, one of the great values of being involved in these kind of good works that we're describing this morning is that we may have the opportunity to influence other people to glorify God. We could also say that good works are the right way to use our blessings. I hope that every one of us who's here this morning realize that we are among the most physically blessed people of all time. We are the most blessed people in the world today by our standard of living and by the material prosperity that we enjoy. We're the most blessed people who live today, but we are also the most blessed people who've lived in the whole history of time. We are truly blessed people. Now, when you think about all the blessings that we possess, the question is, what do you do? What are you going to do with your blessings? Are you just going to serve yourself? Is it just about you? All the good things that you have, you're just going to use them for your own selfish purposes? Or are you going to use those blessings as a tool in God's service? Now, that's the question, and the answer is important. Notice what Paul said in 1 Timothy chapter 6, beginning verse 17. Charge them that are rich in this world. We stop right there to say he's talking to us, by the way. Those who are rich in this world, that's us. So what about us? What are we to be told to do? That they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. That they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. Notice, Timothy was to tell rich people that they should be rich in good works. And that's certainly a message that we need. We have so many blessings, we need to use them doing good works in God's service. Notice that Paul suggested that even has an impact on our eternal destiny. How well we use our blessings to do good works in His name. So good works are the right way to use the manifold blessings we have been blessed with. Let me suggest also that good works should be stimulated in one another. One of the things that I ought to be striving to do is get you more active in good works. And one of the things you ought to do is you ought to be striving to get me more involved in good works. That we ought to be trying to motivate each other in the realm of good works. I think all of us have had the experience. I hope you have. Surely you have had the experience of learning about some of the good deeds that fellow Christians have done and then thinking, man, I need to get busier. I need to do more. Surely you have had that experience. I certainly have. There are some folks here in this congregation who are absolutely great examples that have certainly motivated me over time to try to do more. And that's the way it's supposed to be. You know, that when we're busy doing good things, then we serve as sort of a spark to get others going as well to do good works. Notice what Paul said in a very familiar text, Hebrews 10:24 and 25. let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Now, you recognize the last part of that very well, of course, verse 25, because we so often use it to talk about the importance of being faithful in attendance. But that is mentioned in the context of doing things that will provoke one another into love and good works. So he mentions attendance as one of the ways that we can provoke one another to love and good works. Your presence, at a simply is like this, motivate others. That's good. That's the way it's supposed to be. But I just want you to pay special attention to that assignment. Consider one another to provoke unto love and good works. When you get out there and you get busy doing good things, again, just inevitably, other people will learn about that, and when they do, it will push them on. It will encourage them to do likewise. And so the good works that you do can be very helpful in stimulating others to do more as well. And that just grows. That just keeps growing. And that's what we want. Let me suggest also that good works are determined by God, not by men. Now here, I just want to make a warning. This is just more by way of warning. How often have we heard people who have abandoned scriptural authority and justify it by saying, look at how much good we're doing? Now, we can't do that. We're trying to stress in our lesson this morning the importance of good works. And I hope we are doing that. But good work cannot be used as a justification to throw the rules out the window. And unfortunately, in matters of religion, lots of people have done that. Some of our own brethren have done that. They have violated scriptural authority, and when challenged about that, they say, well, but look how much good is being done. Well, stop there for a minute to think about this. Good work. Who identifies what is good and what is not? We don't do that. God does that. God is the one who decides what is good work. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Notice, there are good works which God has ordained. And so if it's a good work, He says so, not us. And therefore we cannot justify doing unscriptural things in the name of good works. God is the one who has ordained good works, and He's the one who tells us what they are. And then finally, let me suggest to you that good works, while certainly necessary, cannot earn our salvation. I hope that we have made the point in our lesson this morning that this business of good works is very important, and that we can do better, and we must do better. We ought to be striving on a daily basis to do better in the realm of good works in God's service. I hope that nobody could argue the point when we say simply good works are important. But having said that, we also have to point out that we are not saying that we can or should try to accumulate a number of bonus points. You know, if I can just get enough points on my scorecard, you know, then God will have to take me to heaven, right? If I have added up enough good things, then when it comes to the day of judgment, I got my ticket punched, God can't keep me out if He wanted to, because I've earned my salvation. No, that's not the case at all, and we wouldn't want anything that we've said this morning to suggest that. Yes, good works certainly are necessary. If we're going to be the kind of people God wants us to be, we're engaged in good works, but we cannot earn our salvation no matter how much we may do. That's not what this is about. Our salvation is due to the atoning work of Jesus, and not by good works which we have accomplished. Titus chapter 3, beginning verse 5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration, renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. And so yes, work, absolutely. Work for all the reasons that we've been discussing in our lesson this morning. But work to earn your salvation? No, that's just not even possible, right? And so we got to keep that in mind as well. What about good works? again, we would emphasize and stress that they are important, and we ought to be enthusiastically seeking opportunities to do good work. It's what makes us look good. It's how we make a difference in the kingdom. It's how we might be able to influence those lost people of the world around us to come to the Lord. It's one of the ways. It's a way that we can be good stewards of the blessings that God has showered upon us. It will serve as a way to motivate each other to do more and more and more. We need to be engaged in good works. And hopefully, as Christians, we keep that always in mind and make that a real priority in our lives. Our lesson this morning has been directed toward those of us who are Christians already. And so, before we sing this song of invitation, we would just say to those of us who are Christians, make sure that you're doing what you can. And keep striving to do more. Pray for God's help and strength to do more. If you've failed and you've not been faithful in serving the Lord, then by all means, get back on track. Come back to Him in repentance, confession, and prayer. If we can pray with you and for you this morning, we'd be excited to be able to do so. We'd be glad to help. We want to serve one another. If you're not a Christian yet, you need to become one. That simple gospel plan of salvation is hear, believe, repent, confess, be baptized for the remission of sins. If you're not a Christian, if you've never obeyed that simple gospel plan of salvation, we urge you to make that decision without delay, and we're ready to assist you in your obedience. Let us know how we can help while we stand and sing.